Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts every week from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another episode of Lending Forward. I am your host today, Hannah McManus, and I am joined by well-renowned recruiting coach. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Hannah, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited to have you on. I know you've been coaching and, you know, leading different teams for years and years, and I'm so excited to have you lend it forward to our listener base.
Yeah, I'm excited to share. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to your audience.
Yeah, and you know, I want to kick us off with, you know, going into 2025. I mean, you've been in this industry, you've built, you know, a ton of leadership teams in this industry. What key lessons have you learned about leadership that are especially relevant for 2025?
You know, this is, if there's ever a season where we're seeing a lot of things converge together to accelerate change, it's one of those seasons. And one of the dynamics of the mortgage industry, just period, is change. Like, you don't stay in the mortgage industry for 3 years or longer unless you embrace change at a really high level. It just seems to lead, you know, industries, economy, you know, it's just a microcosm of, like, you know, the front edge of change. And so, but you come to 2025, when I look at it, I see a lot of things accelerating, like consumer behavior shifting, you know, AI technology increasing the pace. You know, even some of the micros within the mortgage industry of, like, how recruiting impacts a loan officer or a leader, that's accelerating, change is accelerating there. You know, we just see, like, a lot of things coming together in this moment in time where if you want to be relevant as a loan officer, if you want to be relevant as a leader, you're going to have to be dynamic in this environment. I think historically, you could have been in this business for 20 years and had some version of a playbook and been successful, but there's ever a season where the leadership playbook and the loan officer playbook are evolving and changing quickly. This is it. This is the season for that.
So when you say dynamic, do you mind kind of digging into that a little bit more? Like, what do you mean when you're saying a dynamic leader?
Yeah. I'm talking about a leader who's always evolving. I think a simple way to be dynamic as a leader is to always be growing. Mm-hmm. I think the right perspective of leadership is that you're on a journey of never arriving anywhere, but always trying to grow up. And there's something, there's a point in my daily affirmations that I say to myself is, the current version of Richard is not hireable by the 10-year better version of Richard. Mm-hmm. And in 2025, I look back at, like, 2015, where I was leading 45 people. I had three different teams. I was just giving up personal production, being a loan officer, but who had grown 45 producers underneath him to become a branch manager and an area manager. And when I remember that version of Richard, now fast forward 10 years, I mean, I've been in more than half a dozen meetings with CEOs this week, teaching them how to build recruiting structure and recruiting teams. I don't recognize the old version of me. Yeah. And I think a lot of leaders become something and never evolve past that thing. And with the world, you know, futurists say that 1 year right now is the equivalent of the prior 200 years combined. Oh my God. Imagine, like, stepping out of the 1800s to 2025 and all the things that are so dramatically different. That's the equivalent of 1 year right now in business. So for leaders that are, you know, age is me, I'm 52. I can lovingly say I'm an aging leader. Okay. And laugh when I use that term. I think a lot of leaders are like, if you're an aging leader, you have a leadership playbook. You have some frameworks that you follow. If you're a loan officer that's been in the business for 20 years, you have a playbook that you follow. And if there was ever a time to reconsider that version of you being the moving forward version of you, it's now. That just means you're going to have to embrace change and you're going to have to grow at a pace that you probably have never grown before. That's dynamic. Static is the same. It's always the same.
Mm-hmm. So going back to the 1 year is equivalent to, did you say 200?
200 years.
It is wild. And when I think of that, you know, immediately I think of technology and AI and all of the digital things that are kind of coming at us so quickly and so fast. And I think you and I both know this, they're not going anywhere. But you do, you know, you do have those leaders, you do have, you know, those originators that they're not moving as quickly. I guess they are more in that static, you know, this is my playbook. This is what I stick to. I know this works, so I'm not going to adjust. How do we get those mortgage leaders who are fantastic? They're just kind of set in their ways, if you will, to leverage digital tools and kind of move into this more digital world so that they can embrace and evolve with the industry.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I've learned just through coaching people is that if you motivate people without educating them, you actually discourage them. Mm. So if I'm just like trying to motivate a leader here to become more without educating them as to what, where they need to be growing and learning and evolving, then it's just discouragement to them. So we always start with education first. It's education plus motivation plus application equals transformation. Right. And so as a leader, like you always want to be on the edge of educating yourself. What's new? What's coming? I think great leaders have this ability to look to the future and to interpret it as to what they need to be doing today to prepare for that. When I created the company named 4C Recruiting, 4C stood for the word foresight or 4C, F-O-R-S-E-E. Foresight means that I'm predicting the future so that I can prepare today. And so as leaders, one of the advantages that, and it, you know, when I look at being 52 myself, and I laughingly use the term like aging leader, right? When I use that term, I have a lot of fondness with being 52 because I have all this experience that I bring to this moment that I can see patterns evolve. And I know things are shifting and changing before a lot of like younger leaders know things are shifting and changing because the world, it repeats patterns over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So as a leader that has a lot of experience, like the industry needs those leaders to have some foresight to be able to bring that to the present moment, being on the edge of understanding what's shifting and what's changing and learning, educating themselves around that so that they can project where the team needs to go. They can project where the company needs to go. Mm-hmm. So a loan officer can project where their book of business, you know, how they need to shape the customer experience or shape their sales skills with a new agent to get to the place that they're growing their business. So, you know, inside of this, it's really a commitment as a leader to just continuously educating yourself. That's pretty simple. A lot of people like when I tell people, I typically listen to about a book every week. People are like, do what? Like 50 plus books a year. I'm like, listen, I work out about 45 minutes to an hour every single day. What else am I going to do when I'm working out but listen to something? Right. The average book on Audible is around 6 hours long. Like if I worked out 5 times in a week, and then I use the time that I drove to work to put on a headset and listen to the book, I'm doing exactly what I've always done. I'm just using that space to actually learn something new. And so, you know, as a leader, you want to be into content right now, understanding where things are going, preparing for the future so that you can coach your team based from a place of you being educated on where we're going so that we can prepare for that today. That's an important element of this. If a leader doesn't do that, I have to explain this to my kids, but it's like showing up to a movie 45 minutes late, right? Like I remember the days like the remote control, you change channels and then like you land on like Rocky 3, you're like, dang it, it already started like 45 minutes in. I really wanted to see that. My kids don't understand that because on Netflix and Prime Video, you always start from the beginning of everything, you know? But it's like at times as a leader, you show up and it's like, what's going on here? Like, what are we talking about? Like, And it doesn't take very long for a leader who's been very relevant or even a producer who's been relevant for their entire journey to all of a sudden be non-relevant.
Yes.
And so the challenge is that is like really understanding the market, understanding the implications of AI and ChatGPT and where are we going as it relates to like, you know, the people that are involved in the process. How does it improve your process? How does it streamline what you're doing? Can you figure out ways to use it to create content, right? Like there's all kinds of like things changing right now. Educate yourself, define what that means to you and create a playbook. And if you don't know what that playbook is, there are people in this industry that are leading some of this. You just have to get in the, you know, their wake of content or their wake of information, similar to what you all are doing here and creating this podcast, mm-hmm. right? That you don't have to be the person that has the idea. There are other people that can frame it, but you at least have to be looking up mm-hmm. and you've got to be seeing the things that are being created by other people and taking those things in. To mm-hmm. me, it starts with education.
I love that. I love that. And so I'm going to kind of piggyback off of it a little bit. I do think we have some really, you know, dynamic leaders out there, and we have some leaders that are educating themselves. I mean, they know they want to evolve. They know the industry is evolving and they just don't know where to start. Like, it's so much that where do you begin? And so with your coaching clients, and I mean, I know we're not a coaching client, but I'm hoping you can lend a little advice. You know, where do you kind of, where do you point your clients on, okay, it's a lot coming at you at one time, but here's a great place to dip your toe in and just kind of, you know, start moving in that direction.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can look at, like, even recently, like Kyle Draper wrote a book, Rethink Everything, the Next Gen Loan Officer Playbook. That's an awesome thing to pick up. Dave Savage's Mortgage Coach YouTube channel. I mean, he's got 2,700 videos where he's interviewing top leaders and top producers that you could sit there and just sit inside of that for an entire year, every single day, and never take in all the content. So I think it's today in the digital world, it's so easy. Mm-hmm. To Google, to YouTube it, to go to these places and to find resources that are of value to you. So it has gotten so simple, like, you to get a master's degree education in this just with a couple of resources.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I think that's the beauty of YouTube and social media. And it's so easy to get content now. And to just educate yourself, you don't have to go take a course. You can just go to YouTube and watch Dave. That's great.
Yeah.
I want to shift a little bit to the recruiting world, because, you know, I think everything's gotten hard, if you will, but recruiting has gotten insane. And so, you know, what are the biggest challenges that, you know, recruiting leaders should be aware of in 2025, and how can they better prepare themselves?
Yeah. Anything I'm going to give you here for a leader also would play for a loan officer trying to grow their business, because recruiting, I can take a branch manager, a market leader wanting to attract loan officers, and it's not much of a pivot for a loan officer who wants to attract realtors using mm-hmm. the same playbook, right? Specific to recruiting leaders, one of the things that is relatively new, the last 7 or 8 years, is you have these data tools like MMI, Modex, you know, CoreLogix, their partnership with Big Purple Dot, InGenius, whatever you're using. That was never available until 2018. So that's over the last 8 years is a new experience in that all of the energy, all the recruiting energy goes directly to a very specific audience today. And it might be 40,000 people total nationally. Well, if you go to LinkedIn and you use LinkedIn search tool, Sales Navigator, and you search for branch managers, area managers, regional managers, divisional managers, recruiters, you come up with 54,500 of them in the mortgage industry. There's only 50 states. That's about 1,100 per state. There's only 220 working days in a year. If those people make one contact every single day for the year, that loan officer is going to get 5 touches every single day for the entire year. That noise is deafening for a loan officer day. And it's, you know, for a recruiting leader, it can be discouraging because they're in all the noise. And so it's not much different, though, than the average American. The average American today, when you look at marketing research, they say the average American sees somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 advertisements every day. Jeez. We don't realize it. You open up your news feed, the average American, I think the number was 148 minutes a day, was how much time in 2024 the average American spent on social media. you don't realize it, but if you start to swipe and really look, it's like every two or three posts you're being advertised to. Mm-hmm. Look, if you start to really begin to assess this, look at a website and you'll notice the toolbars on and the headers and the things that are the billboard you used to drive by that was like a single billboard. It's now a digital billboard and you see six ads sitting at that stoplight now. And so it's everywhere ultimately. And what you see is that consumer behavior shifts, realtor agents, their behavior shifts. The loan officer agent, the loan officer, their behavior starts to shift. And you want to be really aware of this because people are drowning in noise today. Mm-hmm. Okay? But here's the encouraging thing is that most people are starving for value. You can be drowning in noise and starving for value. And as a recruiting leader, like if you show up in all that noise, you're never going to be known. You're going to have a really difficult time breaking through that. Okay. But if you show up as the person of value, you are already different. And I think a lot of recruiting leaders, they think how they think about recruiting, it's very similar to how loan officers think about trying to get to agents and convincing agents to use them. We think, what do we have that is better? Mm-hmm. And we show up, we present what's better. When you show up as being the person of value, show up as being different. And always and forever, you can look at a lot of different scenarios, and I'll share one that will help make sense of this. But different has always been better than better. When you look at business, just look at business at a high level, businesses that are what we would call opportunity improvement offerings. There are companies that would say, we stole someone else's idea in some way, shape, or form. You can take Starbucks. I mean, I've got a Scooters. I've got a Cafe Nova. Dunkin' Brothers. Like, you know, Starbucks was like the original coffee shop, right? That turned it into a franchise and began to scale it. All these other places over here are trying to be better than Starbucks. The original idea, the one that was different, has always been the biggest. It's always been the best, right? Everyone else is building on their idea. And so you could take Walmart as an example, Amazon example, Google as an example. I mean, there's lots of examples that you can use that are just big businesses that were different. They were like the original idea. They were a new opportunity that didn't exist anywhere else. And they've always been the ones that have excelled. So when you look at it as a leader, when I show up with a recruit, just like if I'm a loan officer showing up with an agent, mm-hmm. Show up and bring value, right? If I'm a market leader and I'm trying to get into a conversation with a loan officer, I want to be known as the person that shows up with ideas that help them grow their business. I want to show up as the person that understands their business using maybe a data tool to see who their agents are, who's fully partnering with them, who's not partnering with them. I want to share ideas on how they could actually develop those relationships further. I could share anything from even Dave Savage's YouTube channel around scripts that they could be using or how to manage their database better or, you know, but I want to show up as a person of value. That's the first premise in this. Most recruiting leaders are just trying to hack in some way recruiting and building the team, and there's just zero value there. They'll show up and the best thing they'll say is, my company's awesome. Okay. Yeah. So that's a big part of that. And what that really flows out of, it's not tactical. Because when I'm coaching on four different levels. Okay. At the most simplest level, I'm coaching tactics. Like, hey, take this thing and send it to that recruit. That's a tactic. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's another level where we coach around systems. That's better coaching, where it's like not just send something of value, but like, hey, every Friday for 30 minutes, go generate a value idea and send it to the people that you're trying to pursue. Like one of my top coaching clients, I've coached her for about 6 years now, and her worst year was hiring 82 loan officers. Okay. Most people are like, that's like a career, not like a year. That's her worst year. If you sat with her, you say, like, what's the one thing that's made a really big difference in you being able to attract people? It's every month she takes one full day of her calendar and she creates one massive thing of value. And she calls her Sales Lab newsletter and she sends that out. She sends it out internally, right? And then she also sends it out externally. Because recruiting is simply showing people who are not a part of your team what it's like to be a part of your team when they're still not a part of your team, mm-hmm. right? And she would say, that's the number one thing. Like, I bring people that aren't on my team more value than their current leader brings them being a part of that team, mm-hmm. right? And I always like how I kind of think of it is like, you know, there's a movie, it's like probably 25 to 30 years old, Jerry Maguire. Yeah. There's a moment at the end of Jerry Maguire where Jerry comes out after Rob catches his touchdown pass, he gets knocked out, he comes back to, and they're embracing in the hallway after the game. And Jerry's nemesis, the other agent, is in the hallway across from him. And his player looks at him, he says, why don't we have that kind of relationship? And he gives him some sort of awkward hug to try and pretend that they do. We're trying to create that moment as leaders and even as loan officers. If a loan officer can get an agent to say, why isn't my loan officer that I'm sending all my business to bringing me as much value as this person is bringing me, then that's the moment that the relationship dynamic changes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a little bit of value. Sometimes it takes an immense amount of value. But what I found is this, is that I have two different seasons when I've recruited people. I used that tool for 8 years. Okay. For the first 5 years, I was primarily just a recruiting leader. I would recruit like the way everybody else recruited. The last 3 years, I became a person of value. I really focused on bringing value to people. In my CRM, I pulled the data. For the first 5 years I was recruiting, being a normal recruiting leader, not bringing value, just trying to pursue people, it took me 2.1 years to attract people to my team. The second season, in 3 years, I hired over 300 people, okay, wow, without any recruiting support, any corporate recruiting support. Okay, when I look at one of the big things that I changed that three-year window, that I was compressing value. Mm-hmm. I can take 2 years and bring you value. I could also take 2 months and bring you the same exact amount of value that I brought you in 2 years. Mm-hmm. When we compress value into shorter windows of times, it creates velocity in relationships. Mm-hmm. So value contribute real value, not like noise value, not like, hey, you know, here's a YouTube video, I want to send you the link. But it's like something of real tangible value that helps me grow my business. Yeah. Okay, that will accelerate that person towards you. And so in this current world where people are drowning in noise, the dynamic is like, be the person that's known for bringing value to a place where it's painful. You bring so much value that it hurts. I'll give you an example of this. So I started my company in 2017. And the first thing that I decided was, I'm not really a coaching consulting company. I'm a media company first. So I reached out to editors of magazines. I reached out to anywhere I thought if my message landed, it would help me, you know, act like a media company and people would be aware that I was doing this thing. I made a side bet with two of my buddies. I said, I'm going to post every single day on LinkedIn. And if you catch me not posting on LinkedIn, acting like a media company, I pay you $2,500 every time I don't post on LinkedIn. Wow. In any given day. Okay. And so I just showed up to these platforms and I didn't create generic content. Okay. I thought, what's of value to the people that I want to attract? I was giving my coaching away for free, basically in my content. Okay. So that was where I started. Then I created the podcast. I got 141 episodes there, was more value. I then created a weekly newsletter. Like at no point does anyone ever say they want to write a book. Everybody wants to have already written the book. Right? It's like, I didn't want to write the book. I don't really want to create daily content. I really don't want to do the podcast. In 2017, I pulled two all-nighters because I had reached out to a chief editor of a magazine. Okay. And I'd said, if you ever get space, I'm your guy. I'll write the article. Well, the chief editor twice that year reached out to me and said, hey, we have one of our writers fall through. We have a 24-hour window before we need to actually have everything ready. Will you send us something? I don't have anything ready. So I stayed up all night twice writing two different articles to put it in that magazine. So when I say this isn't going to be easy, this is going to hurt. Okay. Mm-hmm. At times, especially early, trying to build your processes and systems and ideas around this. Okay. It's going to take effort. On the flip side of that today, Hannah, I don't even ask for business anymore. Mm-hmm. Like this week, I think I've had 5 meetings, non-solicited, 3 of which were CEOs of companies I've never met.
That's awesome.
Well, on my calendar, okay, I have a live calendar. You can find it on LinkedIn or at the end of my podcast. On my calendar, there's a question. How did you come to finding this calendar? Okay, when I look at those answers, it's like Richard's LinkedIn content, Richard's podcast, I bought Richard's book, right? It's that value creation where I'm giving to the people. Some of it, I'm giving it directly to them saying, I thought of you and I wanted to give this to you. And some of it's just creating it in social media. But the same premise, in all the noise, be the person that brings legitimate value.
I love that so much. I think a lot of people on this call can relate. I think a lot of us get that noise that you're talking about, you know, from LinkedIn or from phone calls or text messages. And it's so fun to hear you talk about it because, you know, I hear it from our mortgage bankers or whoever that like almost every message says the exact same thing. Like, hey, can I take you to coffee? Or hey, can we do this? Or hey, can we do that? So I think it would be really interesting to get something that actually mattered. And it would stand out amongst the crowd. You did give us some stats at one point about just the amount of noise that the average loan officer gets, and I don't remember it off the top of my head, but it was like this wild stat of, I know today you said five a day. I think it was more than that at one point, but I do want to ask though, because, you know, providing value and sending, you know, things that matter and showing people what it's like to be on your team when they're not on your team. I've absolutely loved that. How much of that is also showing up as an attractive leader? So, you know, reaching out versus attracting people to you based on your content or whatever it is. I mean, how much of, what does that balance kind of look like?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because most leaders, just like most loan officers, it's just a slight pivot, don't realize that as much as the real estate agent is self-selecting their loan officer, they're not being sourced, they're not being solicited, they're self-selecting, okay, that loan officers are self-selecting leaders. You know, when we look at the data, for a number of years, we've interpreted the data that somewhere around 75% of loan officers are self-selecting or self-soliciting their next company. They're not being directly solicited. Mm-hmm. When you think about that, like, how does someone solicit the next company? It always comes through the lens of a leader. The loan officer never would land on like a company page. If you're a $20 million producer, you're not going to go to a company page and fill an application and beg for a job. You got 10 people calling you in 2 days, right? To tell you how important you are and they want you there. Okay. But what you can do as a leader, and just like this, a loan officer can do this, is there's a couple of things that are what I would consider polarizing or magnetic. Okay. And I love this idea of like being a magnet. Like if you take a magnet and you place it in the middle of a table and there's paper clips, they move towards it immediately.
Yeah.
Rubber, paper, you know, these things that they're not influenced by it. And I think as a leader, if you want to be that magnet, you want to be polarizing, you've got to be communicating externally, like who you are as a leader. And there are certain things that will pull people towards you. One of those things is your core value system. Like people are trying to decipher who you are as a leader. And so where a lot of leaders start to think, oh, I got to create content, I'll fill this space with very generic content. You think if that's the magnet you're placing in the middle of the table, it doesn't influence anybody, right? But if I can show up as a leader representing my core values, right? Which isn't really hard, because when you think about core values, they're actually just our behaviors. They're our actions. Like I'm into personal growth and personal development. I already shared, I listened about a book a week. That's just a behavior, it's an action, right? So we start to just say like, what's true of us and how do I then represent this externally in my content? And a lot of leaders really struggle, and loan officers alike, what am I going to create that's of value this week? And so we're taught that we need to like have kind of a marketing mindset and be good at creating, you know, really cool ideas. And I don't know that it's as much in this space we're talking about. It's not as much content creation as it is content curation. If you think about the word curation, the assumption is that the content already existed in the first place. Well, if you're living out your act, if you're living out your core values, you're just trying to document the things that you just live out regularly. Like if you're a loan officer and you regularly bring value to agents, figure out how to capture that content. If you're a branch manager that actually has one-on-ones and sales teams meetings and, you know, is like helping your loan officers present to rooms full of real estate agents, will capture the content. And as you start to capture that and showcase it externally through social media, it's attractive to people who aren't getting that from their leader or aren't getting that from their loan officer. Mm-hmm. It's gotten so much easier, Hannah, with ChatGPT. I mean, like right now, I wear what's called a Plod device. It's a note taker. If I touch it, it records. So I could literally be in this meeting right here. This thing would be recording it, storing it into my AI notes. I can give it a series of commands and create content right away. I could take this meeting, go to my own, you know, my notes, move it into ChatGPT and say, hey, what were the topics that we discussed? Will you create a content piece on those three things? And one of the things that I've done with my own ChatGPT is I've captured my voice and I've put it in my own customized ChatGPT and ask it to remember me.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at my ChatGPT, it says memory full. Why? Well, I wrote a book called How to Dominate Recruiting in Digital. I stored it in there. Well, you get 2 million tokens. If you're paying for a subscription, that's approximately 3,100 pages of content. My book was only 291 pages long, which is like the normal size for a book, right? That's not even 1/10 of all the memory that I can have. So I've taken recorded conversations. I've asked my ChatGPT to remember it. And at any moment, I can give it some new information or not even give it new information. And I can say, I want you to create a content piece around this. So if we're thinking now in this new world, how do we capture things and just curate those things? Mm-hmm. And this has gotten a lot easier for us, right? And sometimes it's just like putting an iPhone on a pedestal and having it capture the angle of me talking. It's where if I want video, but a lot of people show up here and go, what's the idea? I've got to go create. When they should be thinking, what am I already living out that I'm just capturing and curating?
Yeah.
So for leaders, they've got to be showcasing who they are through the lens of their core values because their values are attractive. The other thing is this, it's very attractive and that has a lot of energy associated with it. A leader with a vision for the future is attractive. A loan officer has a vision for the future is attractive. Vision is like this amazing place, this big dream of what you want to accomplish and where you want to go into the future, right? So if you're talking about that and you're capturing things that you're doing that are aligned with that, that's great content. Mm-hmm. Most people are driven by some form of purpose, some greater why. Like, you know, for me, it's layered. Like one of the big things that motivate me is like this idea of being a first generation wealth builder. Like my family is really important to me, like teaching my kids to understand how to be entrepreneurs, build businesses. Like I can capture all of that. And that's really greater purpose, greater why of what I do. So as leaders, just if they have a framework like that, and they're capturing that and showcasing that externally, for people that want things that you have to offer from like an essence perspective, like essence is like the fundamental foundational part of you. When you start to showcase that, the right people will start to move towards that. But for most people, the digital world doesn't make any sense. They're trying to, you know, be some version of like a content influencer or content creator, and it doesn't land because that's not the authentic version of them. But if they landed there as the authentic version of them, they would be attractive to people.
It's like the new version of work smarter, not hard. Work smarter, not harder. Like 100%. Leverage the tools out there, leverage your AI, leverage other people's content. You know, that's something that we kind of coach our mortgage bankers on, is you don't have to reinvent the wheel. If you are scrolling and, you know, you're like, oh, I could kind of tweak that and make that my own, save it and do it.
Right.
But I think it is that, you know, the digital world, I mean, you said it at the beginning of this podcast, the digital world came at us fast and hard and from like 18 different directions. And so I think what you just gave everybody is a very simple baby step your way into it. But you nailed it. None of it matters if it's not you, if it's not who you are and it's not your core values and it's not how you lead, people pick up on that. And so finding that authentic way to just show who you are, in the space, I think that was so good. I feel like I could keep talking to you for 2 more hours, but we don't have time to do that. And I can't let you leave without asking our signature question. We ask every guest this question. How are you going to lend it forward in 2025?
Well, this flows out of essence for me, because here's a principle that I believe in, that the more value that we bring, the more in demand we become. Mm-hmm. And if I just live that out, right? It's like, I have a live calendar, bookrichardnow.com. I have never rejected someone from spending an hour. I had a truck driver in Minneapolis, Minnesota, that literally had a phenomenal story. He had gotten across my podcast. This guy was like, had been homeless, had been eating food out of trash cans, and he managed to move through that situation, went to a company that was a trucking company, did a great job. He was successful recruiting at truck stops, other truckers for the company. And the owner was like, you're the head of recruiting. And he found my live calendar and he came in and I spent an hour with him. I just like, what's the best advice that I can give him for an hour? So, you know, I'm going to lend it forward. You know, anyone that wants to invest an hour with me that I can bring you value, you can go to my life calendar, bookrichardnow.com. I'll invest an hour with you. No strings attached. There's no like right hook coming at the end of that. A lot of those do end up turning into, you know, consulting and coaching opportunities for me. It just gives me a chance to kind of showcase who I am and the value that I can bring, but there's no right hook there. It's that, it's the podcast, it's weekly newsletter, it's continuing to lend it forward in that space. I think a place that I'm super, intrigued by right now is the idea of like, I'm having a lot of questions from the people in my ecosystem of like, you know, how do you coach your kids, or how do you bring your kids up into your business, or how? And so that's an area for me where I'm really developing some frameworks for leaders on how to teach our kids how to have abundant mindsets, and teach our kids how to be creators, and teach our kids how to understand the world is abundant and has lots of things to offer, and not how to operate from a scarcity mindset, which is how I grew up. And so for me, I'm going to continue to operate in that space. And that's why I think if people will operate in that space, the impact part is where I come alive, is where as leaders mature and grow, they'll come alive. Being able to help people is ultimately the end result is you'll be in more demand. The more people that you help, the more value that you bring to people.
That's awesome. I'm so excited to see what you do in 2025. And I'm so grateful again that you decided to spend an hour with us to kind of lend it forward to all of our listeners. So thank you again so much, Richard. We really do appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Hannah.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram at Lending Forward, on YouTube and LinkedIn. Tune in next week for another new episode, and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSconsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23452.